Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Spiritual Common Sense. I'm Joffrey McClung. We're going to do something a little different this month. We're going to be speaking with two authors. In the next segment, we're going to be speaking with Linda McKenzie, who just wrote a book called Total Mind, Body, Spirit Weight Loss. I think the book may be in response to the Ozempic trend, but we'll find out. Oh, Linda is also the founder of HealthyLife.net. Now, in my This Inspires Me segment, I'm going to share a story of why it's important to remain true to yourself. In the homework segment, I'm going to offer the third component of self-love, which is self-appreciation. However, first, we're going to be speaking with Damon Grayson, who authored the book When His Ways Meet Yours. Damon was also a music producer and established the Westwear Clothing Company. He achieved global success when Snoop Dogg became the ambassador of Westwear by wearing his apparel on television, in music videos, and in magazines. He slowly began to mentor the young in Compton who had watched him grow up becoming a DJ, a mixtape king, to a legitimate business owner. He also formed the organization Catch 'Em Young Foundation, which takes boys from 5 to 9 years old and teaches them things that were not taught in the home or school. He exposed them to many cultures, visiting many museums they would not have had the opportunity to be exposed to. Damon now runs an online marketing company and is the owner of MyWorldOfWisdom.com, which is run by him and his eldest son. Welcome, Damon.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hey. Oh, I'm so thrilled to have you. I'm going to ask you a question I ask everybody. Where were you born, and what did you dream of becoming when you grew up?
I was born in Compton, California, and as far as dreaming to be, when the teachers used to ask us to write that down and write a paragraph on it, I could never come up with anything because it was too many things to be. But I pursued music that was, you know, automatically in me. And then when I was in school, they used to make me write something.
So what did you write?
I wrote. Say it again?
What did you write down when they made you write something?
I have no idea. I don't remember because it wasn't my truth. I just gave them something to get a grade and make them happy.
There you go. Well, let me ask you. So you were born and raised in Compton. What were your parents like?
I was raised by my stepdad and my mother. My mother had me at 15 years old. She met my dad when she was pregnant with my baby sister. He was in the home until I was about 15 years old. I don't blame him for anything because it was a mutual breakup between him and my mother, but I did have a stable home. From the time I was probably 5 years old, we stayed in that house till I was 12, and then when I was 12, we moved to another location in Compton. When I was 15, that's when they broke up. But the home was stable overall. Sometime we had the water turned off here and there, but we still survived.
But there was love.
Say it again?
There was love.
If that's what you call it.
Okay. Well, they kept you alive. Let's be brutally honest. Whether there was love or not, they kept you alive, which was a good thing. Well, what was it like being raised in Compton? I've never been there.
Overall, as I look at it now, it was very scary, but it was normal. You know, I was at my shop a couple years ago, and I had a friend of mine that was there. My shop was in Compton. I had a retail store, and I had a wholesale store around the corner from it. And I was in there folding shirts one day, and my friend is from Dallas, and we heard gunshots. And I just kept folding the shirts, and he came into my storage room, my little warehouse, and he said, "Didn't you hear those gunshots?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That doesn't faze you in any way?" I said, "No, I'm used to it."
So it was a rough time. Compton's a bit of a rough town, in a sense.
Yes, it is. I believe I'm older now, so I don't believe it's as bad as it used to be. But growing up in it, it was very bad, especially in the 80s when crack cocaine touched down in the city. It was bad. It was very bad. I'm thankful to have a father that was there, and me being a leader and not a follower, I never joined a gang. But you're always affiliated because you go to school with these people in the neighborhood. He could be your next door neighbor, you know?
Of course. And I can't believe you did not join a gang. Most people do. They join, you know, whatever's around them. You got something strong in you, Damon.
Obviously so. I'm a leader. I'm not a follower, and I don't like to be. I was being controlled at school. I was being controlled in my home, and I wasn't going to let anybody besides my mother and my parents and the school teachers control me. So.
Well, let me ask you. So you grew up in Compton, which was a rough town to grow up in, gunshots, et cetera. What was the most positive impact on you as a child? What happened or who or what was the most positive impact on you as a child?
Music.
Music. I figured you would say that. I was going to guess it. So music saved your life, in a sense.
No, it did completely. It saved my life, yeah.
So you got into music. What was the first thing you did with music?
I started DJing.
Oh, okay. So you became a DJ.
Yeah.
So you traveled around and did different parties and things? And
yes, I did. Eventually, when I got good enough, and then when I got some better. Well, actually, I started DJing parties, just neighborhood parties with the little equipment that I had. But when I got better equipment, I was able to do bigger and better parties. And I started traveling around the city and outside of Los Angeles, and my name became big. And then I started making mixtapes, and I was the biggest person on the West Coast that sold mixtapes. I just saw somebody the other day that showed me a picture of one of my mixtapes. And then I'm starting a podcast, so then I was getting my DJ about 2 weeks ago, and he showed me some mixtapes that I had. And I'm like, you guys are a part of history to have these tapes, because they go a long way in the community, all over the country.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. Oh, my Lord. And then you started Westware as well?
Yes, after my first album, yes. The music...
Your first album, so did you do an album that was strictly you?
No, yes. Well, the name of the group was DMG and Daddy V. I was the DJ, I was the manager, I was the record company, I was the promoter.
Oh, okay.
I did everything, mm-hmm. And there was this Japanese guy that used to come to the swap meet all the time. At this time, I'm not selling mixtapes because I'm producing music for people. So I just happened to go to the swap meet one day to visit my old friends, and there was a Japanese guy there. And I just so happened to have, the CD that I was selling was independent, which meaning I was doing everything on my own.
Right.
So
right.
I always carried my
feeling.
Products in my trunk. And I saw the Japanese guy buying, you know, a lot of tapes. So I told one of my ex-employees that my other friend had at the time to go sell him some cassettes and some CDs. So he bought 10 cassettes and he bought 10 CDs. A week later, a couple of days later, we went back to Japan. And a week later, we got a phone call and they asked, "Do you want to come to Japan?" So,
oh, wow.
We went to
Japan. So you went to Japan?
I've been to Japan at least a dozen times.
So you were a big deal in the music world. Well, let me ask you, so you're doing the music world, you do Westware, but suddenly you're doing all of that, but you find yourself being a single dad at the age of 23. Is that correct?
Yes, 100%.
Well, what happened that made you a single dad?
I think it was, well, bottom line is my heart. I'm a nurturer by nature, though I'm a man. Me and my son... Actually, I just saw him the other day. He came from New York, him and his wife. Me and his mother was off and on. Come to find out, she was on crack.
Okay. So there was a drug issue. Gotcha.
Yeah, it was a drug issue. So when she got pregnant, she ended up getting off. But I had told her, we had broke up so many times, the next time we break up, it's going to be forever, and I'm going to take my son. And that's exactly what happened. And
all right,
even with my son being born, it slowed me down a lot, too. I kind of like...
Well, I understand that feeling, being slowed down, definitely. So you had one child with her. You were single father then. And then you met your wife.
Uh-huh.
And then you became a sole caretaker of all your children. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I had gotten married, and I had two more children. And that didn't work out either. So I ended up, that didn't work out. So I had my son, the oldest, and then we had joint parenting with my other two. Then eventually, I ended up eloping. That's how I was back then. I ended up eloping.
Okay.
And my ex ended up asking me, did I want my children? And she already knew that I did.
And you said yes, of course.
Of course, yes. I actually wanted her to, and I didn't want to fight for it, so I just let her ask. And then that's how I became with my other ones. And then I got remarried, and then I had two more children. And when that didn't work, I took my three boys, and then we were back again.
You were the family. The boys and you were the family. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's really cool. Well, I think you said somewhere, I don't remember where, but something that black men have a bad reputation as dads. Well, you did the opposite of what people think of black fathers. You raised all three boys by yourself. I think you need to pat yourself on the back, because I know it's hard. So I think it's quite tremendous. So you're raising three boys. You've done Westware. You do music. You do all of this. And then you suddenly decide to write a book. What made you write the book? What made you write that book?
My last wife. I was in a bad situation. And I was with a bad marriage. I met her in church, actually. So I thought this was the one. At the time, I wanted to save the world. So I always attracted needy people.
Okay.
And I was attracting the wrong type of women. So like I said, I met her in church and everything was good for about 4.5 years. And then to this day, I never saw her do it, but I believe she started being on drugs as well because she changed completely. I mean, after 4.5 years of marriage, she completely changed. So I was in that marriage and that's what inspired me to write the book. The man who I bear his name, he called me one day, my dad. I have three dads. I see this would take longer than 20 minutes to explain everything, but
that's okay.
My dad called me one day while I was writing, and he said, what are you doing? I said, writing the book. He said, about what? And I literally was embarrassed to tell him what the book was about. And then when I finally told him, he said, oh, that's perfect. You're the perfect person to write the book. You've been through. You have experience. And that's what encouraged me to complete the book.
I think the book is quite amazing. When His Ways Meet Yours, I think I read the book. It's quite amazing.
Thank you.
The thing I wanted to ask you, you say in the book that, you say a lot of things in the book, frankly, but that men want women to stay the same while women want men to change. What do you mean by that, Damon?
It's really self-explanatory, but I'll explain my version of it.
I want to hear your version.
When most men meet women, we either like you or we don't.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women look at men and says he has potential.
Oh, okay. And let me work on him, I guess, is what
you're
saying.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you have Steve Harvey going around telling women you have to train your husband right now. So, men see a woman and they like what's in that woman already, and most women want to change a man, and that's where things go wrong. And then the man gets trained, but then he's uncomfortable because he can't be himself. He's turning into what she wants him to be. If it was natural, it'll be better. You can tell by a person's character, like per se, like say I was seeing a friend. she was just a friend. But every time we used to go out, I used to always open the door. And this is recent. This is a few months ago. I opened the door for her. One day she said, "You don't have to open the door for me." Now, when I'm with my mother, it's automatic. I have to open the door, even if I want to or not. But most of the time, if a person wants to do something, you should let them do it without making them do it. When you put pressure on somebody, that's what turns people off.
I saw a lot of that in the book. There was a lot of feelings being explained in the book that I think what you grew up with, the women that you attracted, the women that were harmful in a sense to you. I think you had a lot to say about that, frankly, in the book, which was quite amazing in that sense. But let me ask you, you say that tango best represents what we all need to do instead of cha-cha. Can you explain that really quickly?
Well, the cha-cha is a simple dance. Basically, it's almost like a 1-2-step. But when you do tango, you have different forms of it, and you have different people. I mean, when you first start, you're basic, right? So once you practice or go professional with it or take it serious, you're going to start making up different moves with your partner. But it should be a natural thing versus doing the cha-cha, which is simple. But the tango,
that makes sense.
You know, when as far as entertaining, you would rather see somebody tango.
Oh, yeah, than a cha-cha. Cha-cha anybody can
cha-cha
do. I know what you're saying.
Say it again.
Well, let me ask you this. Why is it important to understand it's not what you say, but how you say it? Where did you learn that lesson?
Well, I learned it a lot with me personally.
okay, good. It's always best to learn it on yourself.
I have a problem hearing too much what people think. However, I'm not, when I talk to somebody, I'm real and I'm honest. I don't know how to, I'm working on, I don't want to use that word, my son uses that word. I'm working on communicating with people and we both are happy at the same time. Instead of me being straightforward so much.
So you want to be a little gentle with your words. I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
I think women like men who are a little gentler with their words than direct in a sense, but that makes a lot of sense. Well, let me ask you, you used a lot of Bible phrases within the book. Now, do you feel like this book is strictly for Christians, or can other religious or non-sectarian people read it?
Anybody and everybody. I have a woman who's asking me, she wants to revamp my book, and she asked me 2 weeks ago, what is my target market? And I said, I don't have a target market. She said, you have to have a target market. And I don't believe that relationships, love, marriage is a target. I think that's universal. But I do understand the power of marketing. Like me and my son have been talking about this for a long time. Target marketing. And I just think some things are just universal. Like me and my son discussed it the other day. Like when he sees advertisements about things his age, it draws him to it. However, he could see the same exact advertisement, but they'll say a different demographic. So say I'm selling bicycles. But I would say this is good for a 14-year-old and more 14 people.
Yeah, but what I want to know, your book is for everybody. Is that what you're getting down to? That it's not just for Christians or other religious people. It's for anybody, whether they believe in religion or not. You've got good messages within your book.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Why did you name it, When His Ways Meet Yours?
That's just the title that came to me.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
That's the title. I mean, but you see the subtitle, right? When you love you, he will follow suit.
Yes. I was going to ask you, when did you, I know we all struggle, my whole thing is about self-love. I know we all struggle with self-love. We got about a minute and a half. When do you think you found your self-love again, Damon?
I'm still working on it, to be honest with you.
I know, me too, honey. Me too.
I was in Puerto Rico for six months.
Children help you. I think from what I read in your book, I think your children helped you realize that you're quite tremendous. You raised three boys by yourself, Damon.
Thank you. You're giving me chills right now. my son lives in New York, and he just came here the other day, and he didn't have time to see me, enough time to see me, but he made it happen, and he wouldn't let me pay for dinner. And he said, Dad, you've done enough for me. You made me the man that I am. And every time he says things like that, you know, it just reassures and reaffirms that I did what I was supposed to do. And I'm still doing it, too. You know, when you're a parent, it doesn't just stop when they turn 18 or 21.
Until your last breath. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, listen, I think everyone should get this book, whether you're religious or not. It does have Christian Bible phrases in it. Didn't bother me at all. It's told from a black man's viewpoint, which I think is vital to this world. Damon, where can people follow you and where can they get your book?
They can get the book on Amazon. As far as follow me, I'm on Facebook as Damon DMG Grayson, on Instagram as DMG is forever lucrative. That's how I could be found.
Well, you're a pretty amazing man. I think everyone get this book, especially if you're a father and you're on your own. It has a lot of good things in it. Damon, thank you so much for joining me, and thank you for writing the book.
Thank you. Damon Marjorie Grayson. Remember that, people. Thank you, Godfrey.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
We'll be back after this commercial.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Hi, this is Joffrey McClung on Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. We are going to be speaking now with Linda McKenzie, who just wrote the new book called Total Mind, Body, Spirit, Weight Loss. She is also a world-renowned psychic, a hypnotherapist, and the founder of HealthyLife.net. Hey, Linda.
Hey, Joffrey. I'm so glad to be here.
Did you write this book because of Ozempic's trend, or why did you write this book?
That's exactly why I wrote the book. You know, these new weight loss drugs, they're all in the news everywhere with many more on the horizon. Every time you turn around, they're introducing a new one. but they're very expensive and they're only completely effective as long as you take them. And some of them, you know, you can have a lot of debilitating side effects like stomach paralysis, colon blockages, and even thyroid.
Wow.
Yeah. And even thyroid cancer. And they're just now, because they've been selling so much of this, they have just now shown that these are the things that most people are suing them for. But there's lots and lots more things happening. So, and not everyone can pay $1,000 to $1,500 a month.
Oh, no, no, no. And, you know, you wrote Mind, Body, Spirit, Weight Loss. Why is the mind so important to weight loss, Linda?
Well, it's because if you transform your mind, you can change your body. And what happens is that, you know, I wanted to develop a healthy, easy drug and diet-free way for people to lose weight. And I did. So back in 2007, I designed weight loss tapes. And when I was when I was president of the Dietary Supplement Manufacturing Company, and I did the diet tapes along with a nighttime and a daytime formula that we had when my partner was a vice president for GNC, and we got together and formed a company from New York and in California. And so she asked me if I would design these tapes, and I started designing these tapes, and the tapes got reviewed by the Olympic Committee. They won many awards, and people were losing anywhere from 6 to 10 pounds in less than 6 weeks, and our poster child lost 100 pounds in 4 months without diet or even taking any of the nighttime formula or daytime formula. It was just the actual mind that helped to transform the body. And so I did 2 years of research, and I found that stress is the real cause of weight gain, nothing else, you know. And there's different kinds of stress, you know, and if you can use your mind to overcome the negative self-talk and you can combat these four types of stress, then you'll lose the weight. And so that's what I did. And I wanted to reintroduce this book because I never wrote a book on it. And we're going to be doing the audiobook sometime this month, and, you know, in the near future, we're going to be doing the audiobook. It's going to come out in a couple of weeks. So, basically what it does, it uses visualization, and because visualization is the mind-body connection, you know, that's what it's all about. And what it does is it uses positive images over a period of time to help you accomplish weight loss. Like, the mental form of the mind is emotion, and emotion produces a feeling that turns into a physical sensation. So visualization uses positive images that produces feeling like a commitment to weight loss that turns into a physical sensation that manifests the weight loss. So the best way to illustrate this, you're at the movies, at a horror flick, and something scares you. You get scared, emotionally scared, and then you get goosebumps on your skin. Well, that's how visualization works. That's how the mind-body connection works. So basically, you're right. It's a connection to your right-left brain, and it kind of balances the brain. And over a period of time, by replacing your negative thoughts with positive ones, it changes your belief system, and your body responds because you are what you think. So visualization puts your intention to work.
That was beautifully said. Why is the mind so important to weight loss? You just said that your mind, you visualize how you want to feel versus taking everything in and just being, you know, at the mercy of your emotions. But let me ask you this. How do you get results in less than 30 minutes a day? Because that's kind of puzzling.
Right. Well, basically what it is that we find, I did a lot of research, and there is a lot of triggers, you know, that, again, based on all stresses. So the four stresses are nutritional stress, where you're not getting enough nutrients, so the body doesn't process the food correctly. And then there's emotional stress for eating for the wrong reasons or holding on to weight. I mean, a lot of people that have been sexually abused as children will hold on to weight and don't know why. So this helps to develop cravings and food dependency and overeating. And then there's the physical stress. You're not getting enough exercise, and that slows the body metabolism and increases fat storage. And then there's environmental stress, which is outside pollutants, food and drug pollutants. So this is like your artificial flavorings, you know, driving down the freeway here in California, not when it's raining, but when it's regular, you smell the gas fumes. And what happens is that 30% of fat in our body is to protect our immune system. So when we're getting these outside pollutants, like, you know, the all sorts of things that are happening with the pesticides and the spraying and the chemtrails and all that and the Wi-Fi, all of this is affecting us and making us gain weight, especially now with the new thing that they found that where the PFAS, which is little plastic particles, that is in every cell of our being, and it's everywhere. You can't get rid of it, and it's very hard to get out of your body. So, so all of these things, by using your mind, what that does, it helps release the negative behavior patterns that you have. It reduces intake naturally of food intake, and it alters your emotional ties to eating. And so what you do is there's a whole thing, you know, of each chapter is a different reason where you have to make a total commitment to weight loss on a mind, body, spirit level. Otherwise it doesn't work. You have to alter your emotional ties to eating. You have to learn to change your eating habits, and you have to naturally get motivated to exercise. And when you do all these things, it naturally helps you lose weight. And so what this does is it makes you it makes you think of every morning, you know, you get up and you say, okay, I have to reduce my food intake because yesterday I ate a lot. So what you would do is you would go to that chapter, you would read that chapter or listen to that chapter in an audio book, and then that would be about 5 minutes, and then maybe eight, and then you would listen to a stress-relieving meditation to get rid of the stress, and then you would listen to a thinking thin meditation, which, you know, we have to change that thought pattern so that we have to learn to think thin, because if we don't, we don't visualize, we don't manifest. So by doing that, it's about 15 minutes a day to do whatever negative pattern that you want to work with. I want to motivate myself for exercise today, so you go to the exercise chapter. I want to alter my emotional ties to eating, so you go to that chapter. And then you do a stress and a thin meditation, both in the morning and at night, for 6 weeks, and it works.
I think it's fantastic. Everybody should get this book. It's good whether you need to lose weight or not, because it makes you use your mind, which I'm big on. Helps you with self-love, self-acceptance. Linda, where can they get this book called Total Mind, Body, Spirit, Weight Loss?
Well, they can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target will have it, Walmart. You can get it at any bookstore, and you know, they can feel free to do that and get it there. And we have an e-book available, as well as the paperback, and then again, the audiobook is on its way. I have never done an audiobook. And then at the back of the book, there's a bonus section called the Linda Mac Diet. And that's about, I should actually call it the No Diet, because you don't have to do a diet with this book, but if you want to have a high immune system, this is something that I have found, that a diet that I use since I got Epstein-Barr virus back in 1987, and this diet keeps me healthy. I'm almost 75, on no drugs, in perfect health, and I look about 15 years younger than I am, and it's all about the diet. So I even have ABCs of substitution tables, so that you can, it took me 10 years to figure out how to cook, you know, because no wheat, no dairy, no sugar, no milk, casein.
Yeah, that would be a little tough cooking. And, well, I think it's a fantastic book. I mean, it really is. And I think everyone should go get it on Amazon, Target, wherever you need it. Linda, you've been quite delightful. Keep writing your books. I love them.
Okay, great. Thanks, Joffrey.
Thank you. We'll be back after this commercial.
Hey! Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Uplifting Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. This inspires me. We all need to be inspired to go beyond what we have known, to do what we've longed to do, but we're afraid to do it. To remember that life is to be a great adventure and to not let worries or fears make it simply mundane. My hope is this segment will encourage you, move you, and enthuses you to also become an inspiration for others. This month's inspiration is being true to yourself. Here's a short story that highlights the importance of being who you are no matter what. I am going to shorten this story just a hair. Once upon a time, there was a sage on his way in the Himalayas. One beautiful morning, he came across a shallow river, which he had to cross to move further. The moment he was about to enter his feet into the river, he noticed a scorpion helplessly treading the water and struggling to come out of the river. The sage knew the scorpion couldn't swim, and if he didn't save the scorpion, it would drown. The sage decided to save it. Therefore, the sage carefully picked up the struggling scorpion in his left palm, with the intention of placing it on the dry land. When the sage was just about to set it down gently on the dry land, all of a sudden, the scorpion stung his finger and rushed off the palm, landing in the water again. The scorpion resumed its struggle to come out of the water. The sage caressed his ailing left hand with his right. He was in extreme pain, but very calm and composed. Bearing in mind that the scorpion could lose its life, this time the sage used his right hand to lift the scorpion out of the river water. However, the scorpion panicked and stung again. Once again, it spread pain all over the palm of the hand and then fell into the river, struggling to live. The sage was left with both hands stinging and with unbearable pain. But the sage was not one to give up. This time, he cupped his hands together and lifted the scorpion in one swift movement. Before the scorpion could react, the sage safely dropped it onto the dry land. The scorpion disappeared into the pebbles that lay near the bank. The sage felt ecstatic for he succeeded in carrying out his perseverance and saving the scorpion's life. He thought it was worth the pain. Now, at a distance, a man who had watched the whole episode was shocked and surprised. He swiftly approached the sage and said, "Can I ask you a question, please?" "Yes, you may," replied the sage. The man said, First of all, in my opinion, there was no need to save the scorpion. It's good for nothing and does not do well to anybody. Secondly, if you tried to save him out of kindness or compassion, you could have tried simply once. I'm quite surprised that even after it stung you so ungratefully, you persisted with your efforts to save him. Please tell me the reason why. How come you just did not stomp on it after it stung you?" "That's pretty simple, my dear child," the sage replied. "This is a creature whose nature is to sting, to give pain, and to harm others. It's not known for showing kindness or compassion. I am a monk and a sage who is supposed to spread unconditional love, kindness, and compassion everywhere. So for a lonely, weak scorpion does not change its basic nature in the presence of a holy man, should I, the one who is supposed to be the sage, let go of my virtuous conduct? Because of the scorpion, am I now so helpless to allow a stinging creature to change me? No. The scorpion did what is his basic nature, and I did what is my basic nature. To be true to yourself at all times can be difficult and takes a lot of courage, but it is vital to remain true to yourself, to honor your principles, your values, your ethics, and to not let anyone change you. When I was working on returning back to self-love, I realized how often I had allowed others to change me, or I should say appear to change me on the outside. Especially angry people, they tended to bring out the worst in me. If they yelled at me, I yelled back at them. They called me names, I returned the favor, so to speak, by shunning them. Spiritual common sense is what I practice now, which simply is, do not let someone's anger make you unkind. In truth, we interact with many different kinds of people every day. Some are scorpions in behavior. Others appear as saints. The question is to remain true to yourself, whether you are with a scorpion or with a saint. If someone provokes you, does it throw you off balance, which indicates they are stronger than you? In difficult situations, we all need to stay calm, centered, and hold on to our inner goodness and not allow anyone to make us change who we are. If you lower yourself down to the scorpion level, treating them the way they treated you, this actually means they've won because you became just like the scorpion. True strength is derived from your ability to remain who you are and to stand firm in your principles, ethics, and values, and offer your goodness, your kindness, your harmony to everyone, even those who sting your hands. What we don't know is who is watching us, who is observing us, and how by staying who we truly are, we're actually showing others that they have the right to be who they truly are. Being who you truly are is an inspiration because it reminds us all that our goodness is actually our strength, and it remains our strength when we share it with everyone, including the scorpion and the sage. When we are true to ourselves and behave accordingly, we are setting the stage for a more loving, kind, gentle, nurturing world, a world that only becomes our reality because we are true to ourselves. That is why this month's inspiration is to be true to yourself and to honor it, whether you are with a scorpion or a sage. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Hey!
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Spiritual Common Sense, I'm Joffrey McClung. Last month, I shared two components necessary for self-love. One was self-compassion, and the other one was self-forgiveness. When you practice self-compassion, it automatically enables you to find self-forgiveness. This month's spiritual homework is on the third component necessary for self-love, and that is self-appreciation. Self-appreciation is described as being able to enjoy what's good about ourselves, acknowledging that all people have strengths as well as weaknesses. We allow ourselves to revel in our goodness without evoking feelings of arrogance or overconfidence. Self-appreciation empowers you to become your own personal cheerleader. To be your own cheerleader is vital, since most of us have an inner negative voice running in our heads constantly. Another way of getting to self-appreciation is to become your own best friend. A best friend cheers you on. A best friend has your back. A best friend highlights your strengths rather than your weaknesses. A best friend makes you laugh at your flaws and weaknesses, knowing that they do not define you. A best friend encourages you to keep moving forward when you've experienced defeat. Self-appreciation unties you to allow others to make you feel better. When we let go of our expectations around people always having our back, we step more fully into our own power. Let's say you're working on a goal or a dream. No one cares more about your goal or dream than you do. It's nice to receive support from those around you, but only you can sustain the belief that you are deserving of your goal or dream coming true. So number one, in order to have more self-appreciation is not to have expectation for others. It's your dream, so hang on to that vision. Number two, to move more into self-appreciation is to celebrate any and all milestones. It builds your confidence when you celebrate a milestone you've achieved. It doesn't matter if another person celebrates you. You celebrate yourself. Big, small, tiny steps that you've accomplished. Celebrate yourself for every single milestone that you reach. Number three, to move into self-appreciation is to cheer yourself on. Write down your goals and know that for each goal you achieve, you wrap your arms around yourself saying, good job, well done. If you hit a rough period, remind yourself that you can get through this. Remind yourself that you've had more difficulties that you've moved through successfully, and you will move through this successfully as well. Number four, and this one I do a lot, practice positive affirmations. Affirmations, especially those said out loud, let me repeat that, those said out loud, tell the universe exactly what you want to experience in your life. Affirmations lift your spirits and remind you that you are in charge of your life. No one else is. Affirmations keep your mind on what can be, rather than wallowing in worries or concerns that what will happen. I cannot tell you how many times affirmations lifted me out of the funk that I was stuck in for the day. Just by saying my affirmations out loud, it lifted my heart and relaxed my mind so that I could continue to move forward. And I will add a little note here. You must believe your affirmations. So if you have a negative belief that is the opposite of your affirmation, you need to heal and change that negative belief first and then return to the affirmation. And number five, become your own best friend. Now this sounds easy, but it can be quite difficult for many of us, especially women who've been trained to care for others and not for themselves. A best friend is described in the dictionary as someone who offers you support, improves your quality of life, promotes self-confidence, provides honesty and unconditional love, and helps you progress mentally. Do you love yourself unconditionally? Do you give yourself confidence? Are you brutally honest with yourself? And do you offer yourself unconditional love? If you've answered no to any of these questions, you need to grow in your sense of self-love. When I was working on self-love, I was not always my own best friend. It took time and effort and determination to move through the challenges, the social instructions I'd received as a child, and the negative voices that we all have running in our heads. But I did it, and so can you. And I would add one more to my listings of how to have self-appreciation, and that would be number six. Come up with an opposite inner voice to that critical negative voice that tells you you're not good enough or that you're stupid. My opposite voice was a cheerleader. She cheered me on. When I heard that negative voice, I could hear my cheerleader yelling, "You can do this. You're more than good enough." We all have inner negative voices, but we're not victims to these voices. We have a choice. And I hope you will choose an opposite, positive, loving, maybe a cheerleading voice to counteract that negative voice in your head. You're only a victim if you allow it to be true. So, this month's spiritual homework is to find your self-appreciation. Do not expect others to lift you up, but for you to lift yourself up. To celebrate what you've achieved, both big and small. To cheer yourself on when you find yourself in difficulties so that you can keep moving forward. To practice affirmations so that the universe and you know exactly what you hope to experience. To add a new positive inner voice, drowning out that inner negative voice. And to become your own best friend, motivating yourself, giving yourself confidence, loving yourself unconditionally. If you want self-love, you must have self-appreciation. It will change everything. I'm Joffrey McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Eclectic Talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you got some inspiration, some information, and some spiritual homework that will move you forward. And please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Also check out my website at MySpiritualCommonSense.com. I have great blogs there, and you can read a little bit about my books on my website. I hope I've left you with some things that no longer serve you and picked up some things that celebrate you and who you are becoming. And remember, you are glorious, magnificent, and stunning in the universe's eyes, and have always been and will always be lovable, loving, and loved. Until next time, be the light the world needs and have love for all. This is Joffrey McClung for Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Have a joyful, loving, self-loving day.